Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to 20-year-old Nigerian striker Josh Maja, who scored his first career hat trick Tuesday when Bordeaux battered Nîmes 6-0 in League One, the top division of French club football. Maja put Bordeaux 2 goals up in the space of 37 minutes and then completed his treble 8 minutes into the second half. In the process, Josh became the 4th best goal scorer who is 20 years old or younger in the top 5 European leagues. Maja has 5 goals this season for Bordeaux. Now, topping that 20 or younger list is another Nigerian player based in France, 20-year-old Victor Osimhen, who has 8 goals for Lille. Josh Maja joined Bordeaux in January after playing previously for the English club Sunderland. Bordeaux sent a cheeky thank you message from its official Twitter account to Sunderland after Maja's hat trick, referencing the January transfer. I'm guessing Josh's hat trick also caught the eye of Nigeria's German manager, Gernot Rohr. Maja has made 1 international appearance for the Super Eagles of Nigeria. In September, he came on as a substitute for none other than Victor Osimhen late in a 2-2 draw with Ukraine in a friendly international match. Meanwhile, if you tuned in to Tuesday's show, you heard from another 20-year-old football player, defender Matthijs de Ligt of Juventus and the Netherlands national team. Matthijs won the Copa trophy at the Ballon d'Or festivities in Paris as the best international player under the age of 21.
It's not very common for a defender to win this prize or another prize. I'm really happy with that. I think it says that I'm doing something good and yeah, that I'm on the right way.
Another young player who seems to be on the right way in international football is 20-year-old Samuel Chukwueze, who plays for the Spanish club Villarreal and Nigeria's national team. Samuel also played on Nigeria's under-17 world champion team in 2015. He finished 9th in the voting for the Copa trophy. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted Chukwueze's coach, who guided the Nigerian boys to the under-17 world title in Chile, Emmanuel Amunike.
Well, I think it's a good thing. It's a good news for the young Chukwueze. It's a good thing for African football that one of the, future player, future star is being nominated along Messi, along Ronaldo. So, but it's a good thing, All Chukwueze need to continue to do is to continue to work hard. He has been working hard. That's why he's been playing for his club regularly. So he just need to be calm, keep his head cool, and then continue to do what he knows best.
What should be done to get more Samuel Chukwuezes in Nigeria and indeed in Africa to help football grow in Africa?
What we need to do is to be honest to the job. That's just the simple truth. To be honest to the job, to give everybody equal opportunity, because you can never know whom is going to be the star, mostly at this youth level. Chukwueze, yeah, of course, I trained Chukwueze in the Golden Eagle, but Chukwueze have been discovered before then. I could remember the first time I saw him in Omaha. We took Chukwueze with the likes of Nwakali to Portugal with my academy when they involved in the EPA Cup. And Chukwueze was so astounded. something in that tournament. He scored a lot of goals. So Chukwueze is not, when you see a good player, you actually know that this player is naturally gifted. All you need to do is to see how you can help him to realize his dream. I think that's exactly what we did. And I'm happy for the young guy, you know, that he's progressing. I'm happy. This question, I'm always happy because seeing this guy, seeing Victor Osimhen, seeing Chukwueze, I hope Nwankale can pick up, seeing the rest of them, you know, coming to the Super Eagles. Because at the end of the day, I could remember in the World Cup in Chile, the question is always, why is it that the young players from Africa are doing well in the under-17 and then at senior level, they're not able to progress. But of course, you know, when we came on board into the job with Nigeria, we were honest to the job. We tried to change the dynamic of the job. Initially, you bring players that are playing in the Premier League and claiming that they are 17. So what we did, you know, with the help of Megari, we were able to eliminate that barrier and then begin to start to give people the opportunity to come. Whether you know how to play, you don't know how to play, just come and show yourself. And if you are good, know how, people with your talent will not take you to a place. So we just need to continue to see how we develop our youth. Of course, we want to win. We want to have success. But the important thing is that seeing these players, you know, progressing to the highest level and being able to compete at the top level, I think that's the objective of the youth development.
Coach, you have some other members of the under-17 Nigerian team that won the FIFA under-17 World Cup in Chile. What are their prospects? Are you in touch with them? And do you think many of them will make the Super Eagles in future?
Well, if they, many of them, why not? They can make the Super Eagles in the future. Like I have mentioned earlier, they just have to continue to do what has brought them to limelight. That is football. The moment you divide from what has given you fame to something else, then you start to lose ground. You start to lose the game. For the modern football now, every day the game is changing with the new laws that is being introduced every day. So the players are adapting to the new laws. They are adapting to the changes of the game. So the same thing our players need. I hope, I pray for them because those boys, I think, they did us proud in Chile, regardless of nobody even believed in the team. But yeah, they believed in themselves. We worked together as a team and we were able to achieve something in Chile. So I pray that, you know, they continue to grow with the same mentality. I want to see them in the nearest future in the Super Eagles. That's the objective of playing at the youth level.
That's Emmanuel Amunike, the 1994 African Footballer of the Year and the head coach of Nigeria's under-17 world champion team in 2015. And Emmanuel spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Santander, Spain. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the International Day for the Disabled Persons is commemorated on December 3rd. Disability on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
VOA! I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if our Voice of America listeners check out my Facebook page on this Wednesday, you'll see a nice photo by Reuters photographer Andrew Boyers. I captioned Andrew's photo, "A Kiss for Kelechi." Andrew captured James Maddison kissing his Leicester City teammate, Kelechi Iheanacho, on the forehead after Kelechi's recent game-winning goal against Everton. Magnus Chisholm Onwuadiwe, the humble apostle of the sunny side of sports, checked in again on my Facebook page after seeing the Iheanacho photo. Magnus writes, "That's my homeboy, Kelechi Iheanacho, doing his magic goal celebration for Leicester FC." Magnus was writing from Owerri in Imo State, Nigeria, which is also where his homeboy, Iheanacho, is from. And Magnus continues, "Kelechi's senior brother visited my office in Owerri a few weeks ago. It was a joyful moment," writes Magnus. "For some time now, it has not been quite rosy for Kelechi. I'm so happy with his last performance, especially firing up the team to victory against Everton. I wish him the very best." Now let's go to South Sudan, where some women are learning kickboxing skills so they can defend themselves against attackers. But one woman in particular, Monica Michael Kelly, is hoping her intense training can help her become the first female champion to represent South Sudan in kickboxing. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to a feature by Ding Magat in Juba, South Sudan.
That is 25-year-old Monica Michael Kelly honing her kickboxing skills in the gym. Clad in blue shorts, a vest, and boxing gloves, she pounds a punching bag as her coach braces his weight against the bag and her punches at Juba's youth center. Kelly, a Form 4 student in Juba, has been training with coach Okello Puro Obob 3 times a week since 2014, after her mother encouraged her to visit the youth center.
I was just home and then got lazy, and then my mom's like, go to training, go to anywhere for girls. What do I, then I start come here. Like I'll start boxing. Then from there, these people are not serious about really like training every day. Then I went to kickboxing. They are always here and there is the girls. It's like when you see they are doing so nice.
Kickboxing is a form of martial arts that combines boxing with elements of karate, in particular kicking with bare feet. Coach Obob describes it as an excellent sport for girls and women who are often denied the chance to show their aggression in sport. It also helps women defend themselves in a country where sexual violence is a pervasive problem. Kelly says since she began training, her proudest moment was when she received a gold medal and a certificate by the South Sudan Boxing Committee, followed by her performance at the Nyakuron Cultural Center. In 2017, Kelly took part in a kickboxing competition in Uganda capital, Kampala. She says even though she didn't win, she performed quite well given her weight of 50 kgs against a competitor who weighed 65 kilograms.
I think the girl win because she's not my belt. She's not my this one because my belt is 50 and hers is 65. Then I'm just like, I'm not supposed to play with her. Then coach tell me that you have to, cause you, I know you're strong, you're like playing with guys every time.
When Kelly took up kickboxing, there were only 3 young other women training in the gym. She says the 3 eventually gave up the sport because they felt the training was too tough. As a kickboxer, Kelly says, you must train several times a week or you will lose your technique.
I have like 4 girls. Then another one got married, another one busy with school, then I'm free. So I'm just like, I'll make it, then I'll be the champion.
While she's committed to becoming a kickboxing champion in South Sudan, Kelly says it won't be easy. Coach Obob says despite the obstacles she faces, Kelly has shown enormous courage.
She's been competing in East Africa, mostly in Uganda, and of course in South Sudan. Her qualities are, she's very gentle. You can't even tell she's a kickboxer. Of course, she's loyal. She's here with us every time.
Obob says Kelly accompanies him as his assistant to UNICEF events, where he teaches experts different forms of martial arts and self-defense. Obob also says he hopes other South Sudanese women will participate in kickboxing competitions outside the country.
With peace, everything will come through. And I would like to see them going to all African games, mostly some championship, world championship. I would like to see South Sudan represented worldwide, and through sport is the best opportunity to bring these young people, young girls together.
Obob says learning kickboxing also supports the development of social skills associated with team sports, such as reliability, conflict resolution, confidence, and positive self-image. For VOA News, I am Ving Makot in Juba.
My name is Jean Seninde with Queen's Park Rangers Women and the Uganda National Team. Listen to Sunny Side of Sport with Voice of America.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to African athletics, Olympic marathon champion Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya says he hopes to run for another gold medal at next year's Tokyo Games. Joining us now with that story is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. 2 months ago, Eliud Kipchoge entered the history books as the only athlete to run a marathon in under 2 hours. And now the greatest marathon runner of all time is hoping to defend his gold medal at the 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo. And Kipchoge says his dream of representing Kenya at next year's Games is first and foremost on his mind.
Actually, it's just in front of my mind, and I'm trust that and believe that when the time comes, I will be in the starting line.
Well, it's probably safe to assume Kipchoge will be selected. He is the current marathon world record holder and has won 11 of his 12 official marathon events, including a gold medal run at the 2016 Rio Olympics. Add all that to his historic sub-2-hour running time at the INEOS 159 Challenge this past October. However, as the accolades continue to pour down on Kipchoge for his extraordinary talent, there is growing criticism that he and other athletes who have clocked record-breaking times were able to do so because of their running shoes. The latest models feature carbon plates and a thicker midsole that manufacturers suggest could make an athlete faster by up to 5%. The controversy has led to calls for a ban on the racing shoes, which Kipchoge is firmly against.
It's not a rocket science about the shoes, but all you know is that the shoe helps actually a runner to recover very fast, especially after the marathon. But all you know is that it's a normal shoe, yes, but the person who is the human being that runs.
And Kipchoge has said he hopes his achievements will show that no human being is limited.
It's about leaving legacy in this world. It's about actually giving information to the whole world that no human is limited, be it in your family, be it in your daily duties, be it in your professional way, that you can go beyond what human thinks it's impossible. So it's about actually spreading the message and clicking and getting that message. That message whereby people think it's some things are impossible in a human family.
Time and time again, Kipchoge has proven that nothing is impossible, and that is a message he hopes will reach the people of Africa.
This race actually means a lot to my country and my continent in Africa. That it's about actually telling people that there is nobody to actually who sets the limits. And only limits are happening in their minds. It's not actually something tangible. It's just happening in your thoughts. So
what I'm doing is that I'm trying to just remove that click in their minds that no human is limited.
If Kipchoge is selected to represent Kenya and the African continent in next year's Olympic Games, he will race in the northern city of Sapporo, a location where all racing events were recently moved to in an effort to beat the expected heat and humidity. In another change, the women's marathon and all race walks have been pushed back. Those events will now be held on 4 consecutive days from August 6th to August 9th with early morning start times. That is the latest change made by Tokyo 2020 organizers as they continue to strategize on how to keep athletes and spectators safe amid potentially dangerous temperatures next summer. However, should Kipchoge be selected to appear in next year's Olympics, the men's marathon is scheduled to take place on August 9th on the final day of the Games, in keeping with tradition. The opening ceremony for the 2020 Summer Olympic Games will be on July 24th. And that is all from me, Sunny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Tuesday night, two games went to overtime with the San Antonio Spurs and the Miami Heat both scoring victories. In a Texas shootout, the Spurs defeated the visiting Houston Rockets 135-133 in double overtime. San Antonio overcame James Harden's 50-point scoring performance by rallying from a late 10-point deficit. Lonnie Walker IV had a career-high 28 points for the Spurs. James Harden, meanwhile, played a season-high 49 minutes for the Rockets. He was coming off a 60-point scoring performance on Saturday while playing only three quarters against the Atlanta Hawks. In San Antonio, Harden was whistled for two offensive charges in the second overtime. In Toronto, Canada, the Miami Heat defeated the defending NBA champion Toronto Raptors in overtime. As we hear now from the AP's John Lethierby.
Miami snapped the Raptors' 7-game winning streak with a 121-110 overtime win in Toronto. After missing the winning basket at the end of regulation, Jimmy Butler made up for it big in the extra quarter, scoring the first 8 points in OT, including a pair of threes. He finished the game with his fifth career triple-double, 22 points, 13 boards, and 12 assists.
I think we have an opportunity to win any game, home or away. I'm not going to say that there's some special than any other one. Just two good teams going at it. We're fortunate enough to do our job.
The Heat's Duncan Robinson also finished with 22 points. The Raptors were led by Norman Powell as the game's high score was 23. Miami has won 8 of its past 10 games. John Lethierby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. Now let's go to Denver, Colorado, where LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers won their 18th game of the season by beating the Denver Nuggets. We'll hear from LeBron in this report by the AP's Bruce Morton.
The Lakers scored the game's final 8 points to pull out a 105-96 victory over Denver in a battle of the Western Conference's top two teams.
We knew they were going to make a run. Statistically, they're one of the top teams in coming back from double-digit deficits in the third or in the second half. So we knew they was going to make a run. Very good team at home. And we just kept our composure.
LeBron James scored 25 points, as did Anthony Davis, who was under the weather and spent the hours before the game taking it easy.
Sleep. Yeah, that's really it. Sleep and a couple medicine things here and there. Some Dayquil and stuff like that. But IV at halftime, just try to find a way to keep going.
Down by 12 in the second half, Denver pulled to within 97-96 with 2:23 to go before Los Angeles held the Nuggets scoreless the rest of the way. Bruce Morton, Denver.
Thanks, Bruce. Finally, let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to the young Slovenian star for the Dallas Mavericks, 20-year-old Luka Doncic. Luka had 33 points and a career-high 18 rebounds Tuesday night as the Mavericks scored a 118-97 road victory against the New Orleans Pelicans. And that wraps up the December 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the International Day for the Disabled Persons is commemorated on December 3rd. Disability on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
On December 6th, Border Crossings will bring you the greatest songs inspired by the soul genre. You'll hear smash hits from Three Dog Night, Mama told me that's come. Hall & Oates, and George Michael. If you like these tracks, you'll love our Soul Inspirations theme.
December 6th on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.
Everyone is looking for something special when maybe they should just listen instead. The VOA's African Music Mix will soothe your nerves and calm your head. Tune in from 0 to 300 UTC and 1100 to 1300 hours UTC to make you feel good. So treat yourself to that something special.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomers using the National Science Foundation's Green Bank Radio Telescope say they discovered a neutron star that is the most massive ever detected. The researchers found that this neutron star packs a mass 2.17 times that of our Sun into a sphere that's a mere 30 kilometers in diameter. According to the researchers, this newly discovered neutron star is so heavy that if it had just a little more mass, it could have instead formed a black hole. Neutron stars are composed of the highly compressed remains of a giant star that exploded in a Type II supernova. This new discovery is also considered a pulsar, since observers here on Earth can detect the powerful beams of energy they emit from their magnetic poles. This neutron star spins so quickly that it would only take a couple of milliseconds for a full rotation. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo, and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC.